Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. We are delighted that you're joining us for this show on right action. I'm joined with my delightful co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm feeling great, and I'm excited about our show. It's going to be fun. We're going to do a bit of a review. So today we're going to talk about right action in relation to the topics we've covered thus far. Essentially, this show is about right action. It's how can you apply spiritual principles to your everyday life? And we've talked about so many really interesting subjects so far. Who are we as humanity? We talked about hope, which was just one of my favorites so far, and right speech and right action. So we're going to look at right action in relation to all of those. So how can you apply those principles and act accordingly? What do you say, Dorothy? Go on.
I'm going to start us off with a quote, Steve.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah. I think the Gandhi quote, be the change you wish to see in the world, is perfect for this show.
Mm. Absolutely. If we all could just be that, right, that we would like to see in the world. It doesn't take too much work, right? I mean, if you just wake up and make a choice, align yourself, and have an idea of the world you'd like to be living in and see if you can create that with your actions.
Well, so. Theoretically that's true, Steve, but we learn a lot of dysfunctional ways of thinking about the world, and inaccurate ways of thinking about the world, and that gets in our way. And that, you know, if we think back to that first month when we were talking about who we are, and we talked about the seven principles from my book on Principles of Abundance for the Cosmic Citizen, and we start right out with the fact that we are waveforms, you know, we are energetic beings. That's so different from the way most people think about themselves in the way we're talked about in the media and that kind of thing. We're talked about as in terms of physical density as opposed to the fact that we are energetic and that whatever we, however we think, whatever we say, however we act, influences that large cosmic energy field that we're part of, like throwing a pebble into a lake, right? You see all the ripples that go out.
So in a sense, when you say we learn these, there are certain ways, almost certain things we need to undo, we need to change. And so I think that's interesting that it says be the change you wish to see in the world. And that is one change of seeing ourselves as pure energy, seeing ourselves as vibration, and that we're living in a purely vibrational universe. So, you know, be that vibration that you
that's
wish
right.
to see in the world.
That's right. And we can think about how, you know, we've been taught ways of talking, ways of thinking that reflect the non-reality, the inaccuracy. We think that we live in a universe of cause and effect, that it's almost deterministic, that there's certain things that will happen to us no matter what, or certain consequences that will occur no matter what. And yet the reality is that we live in a probabilistic universe where there are many, many possibilities. Some of them may have only a very small percent of likelihood of occurring, but there are many possibilities, and how we focus, what we think about, what we make our priorities is what precipitates what actually happens.
I love that word, precipitates, because really we are precipitations, even ourselves. And I love that you said what we think. So it says right there, we can't just rely on the material world, looking at the world as this and that and just rearranging those things. We have to see ourselves as more than that. And we have to come to realize that we don't just look around horizontally. We've got to approach ourselves vertically as well. And realize that we've got thoughts and we are, I love, we really centered that whole month around that quote that said, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience, but spiritual beings having a human experience. And so to be human beings having a spiritual experience is that I find that to be very material, that here we are. And every now and again, I get this break of the material world, whereas really it's about learning how to, implement the laws of the universe to create that reality and that change you wish to see in the world.
Mm-hmm. And there are some specific implications that are interesting. Like we think in terms of linear time. We talk about the past, the present, and the future. But in fact, everything is happening at once. And it is literally possible to heal the past. The past exists for us right now in our thoughts and our emotions, and we can heal that with ourselves and others. It's not that it's in the past and nothing can be done.
Yes. Control of our lives again. I love
That's
thinking
right.
of it in quantum terms too. I love this idea that any situation is out there as a possibility and a potential, and it's just a matter of us aligning and finding these cooperative parts to come together to make that our reality. We see a lot of images of that, you know, in sort of nowadays in science fiction movies, this idea that every reality is happening simultaneously, and it's a matter of just making that your own, that we really have choice in that.
We do have choice, and that's exciting. It also carries with it a tremendous responsibility.
Yes.
Because if we check out, no matter what we do, even by not doing, we have an effect, right?
Right,
so,
right. We have to participate.
That's right.
Which
that's
is another right. one of the principles we talked about.
That's right. And there's a quote that we referenced at one point. I don't remember who it's from, but life is not a spectator sport.
Yes.
You know, it's our reality here and now, but I think one of the most challenging aspects of this, Steve, at least for me, is the implication that we are all interconnected. We are all part of this energy field, and we're so used to thinking and talking about ourselves as separate individuals that can choose to do things without regard for the impact that it may have on other people. But the reality is that we are interconnected. We're all part of this same energy field. That means that even people that I don't like very much, right, I am related to them. I'm linked to them. And so there's, you know, I need to think about, so what's my responsibility in that regard?
Yeah, it's very complex. And not just other people, but we are interconnected to this planet. We are interconnected in every way. So it can get complex. I find a good way is to just really spend your day trying to connect. Like, it almost can be fun to wake up and really connect. Connect to your desk. Connect to your breakfast. Connect to the person across from you. Connect to a stranger. And see the results. You know, you really realize that interconnectivity is supported, you know, because something will blossom from that. It will be living proof that indeed you are aligned with a universal principle when you accentuate interconnectivity.
That's right. And we can link that then to one of the principles, non-duality, that in fact our world is not dualistic, but we have lots of imagery and language that we use that is dualistic. It's either or, you know, that creates only two options instead of seeing that there's this whole continuum of different types of options. And so every time we use that kind of dualistic imagery, we're separating ourselves from others, from some other group, and yet we are all interconnected.
And we seem to revel in that, you know, as culture. Goodness gracious, you know, you see sports teams being, you know, revered and celebrate in ways that sometimes just shock me, that you want to enter this arena that is really about win or lose and this team and that team. I'm going to sit on this side and you sit on that side. It's interesting how I'm talking about undoing, or we sort of drink the Kool-Aid of just it's a given, and we fall into line with that. And really, if we can make choices to other choices. I've always found really heated athletic games to not feel good to me personally. So, yeah.
Well, you know, I think it depends on the attitude that's brought to it. If you're competition can be really helpful in terms of stimulating you to perform to your personal best. But that's a different attitude than, you know, number one is great and everybody else is a loser. You know, that's that dualistic perspective.
Well, and interesting, I was only thinking of the fans. I say athletics, but I should have said athletic fans.
Well, and that brings us to another one of the principles, which is, you know, we talk about life as being competition, but in fact, cooperation is the basic dynamic that we live through and that we grow through. And if we think about our bodies, you know, our bodies are networks of cells that cooperate and organs that cooperate with each other. In fact, if they don't, we die. So
yeah.
Cooperation is a very fundamental principle in our lives.
It's everywhere. I mean, you just look out into the world and you can't believe that it's still spinning, it's still going, even as much as we sometimes feel like we're pushing against it. But it shows that abundance is everywhere. You know, your book, Abundance for Us All, you know, Enough for Us All, is about abundance. And it's the abundance is the result of cooperative components coming together to make more. Mm-hmm. So cooperation is big for sure. There's one more, I believe, that we left out, and we're going to use it right now because we have to be adaptable because we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk about adaptability in one sec. We'll be right back.
Treat the body and expand the soul on June 1st with Lynn Brown. In this all-inclusive retreat, you'll treat your body with breakout sessions in the various elements of nature. Enjoy fireside chats while harnessing the healing energy of fire. Allow more light with more ease and activate that connection between the body and spirit. Call 206-931-7356 or visit lynnmbrown.com.
Do you feel that there's a bigger, better life for you? Is there anything holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? If you'd like to find your life's true purpose and calling, join the world's foremost authority on primal spirituality, David Karsher, in Becoming a Sun Radio, emotional and spiritual intelligence for a happy, fulfilling life. Tune in once a month to Becoming a Sun Radio with David Karsher on the Dr. Pat Show and Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit davidkarsher.com today.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the Rad Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-9 972-5366.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Just before the break, we were talking about the seven principles of our, that Dorothy, put it in your words, they're so beautiful, that...
Well, they are who we are. They are the principles...
They underlie, that's what I was looking for.
Right, that underlie how our universe functions and how we relate to each other.
Right. And they're amazing. I mean, I have sat with these for over a year, and I come back to all of them so interesting. You know, we're all interconnected. Participation. The world is nonlinear, non-duality, and cooperation. We just talked about being adaptable, and that is one that is so interesting. We talked in the first show about Darwin, that really it's not survival of the fittest. It is survival of the most adaptable. And that's a pretty huge change. Don't you agree?
That, yes, it is. And part of what
part of what it underscores
is that life is a series of continual changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not static, and we have to be nimble. You know, we have to be able to adapt. And also, one other principle that we didn't name specifically, Steve, was interdependence. We can't solve things on our own. We have to think about not only their influence on our actions, influence on others, but how we can work with each other towards the best possible solution for the common good.
Right. And that requires adaptability, right? That requires so many of these. What's beautiful about these principles is that they all work with each other. And together you can see how they create this beautiful holistic view of who we are and how we can move forward. You know, it does speak quite a bit about right action. You know, you can put an action to each one of those and say, am I moving toward, am I working in line with that principle? And generally, I would say you're moving in the direction of evolution, meaning
That's
expansion,
right.
You know.
That's right. Yeah.
So our next month, that was February. Then we moved on in March to hope, which... adaptability and change, you mentioned change. That was something we talked about quite a bit, was that change is inevitable. And, you know, that requires creating options. It requires being somewhat flexible, and it requires a good attitude. You know, you've got to be, but it is helpful if you're hopeful, if you've got a good attitude, that you really can watch your world that the first quote that you said, which is be the change you wish to see in the world, well, be optimistic about the world you'd like to see and act from that place, and it begins to show itself.
That's true. And one of the things that we talked a lot about when we were talking about hope is that hope is more than optimism. You know, a lot of times people think of hope and optimism, believing that everything will be all right, as synonymous, but being hopeful actually has an action component. And just to remind listeners, or share with listeners who weren't with us during that month, hope also includes a goal focus, you know, the ability to set realistic goals and goals that matter to us, that reflect our values, seeing multiple ways that we can achieve that goal. So we're not discouraged if we try one way and it doesn't work out, but we're able to tolerate failures and disappointments and still persist. So persistence is a good part of that. And then there's the belief in oneself, self-efficacy, believing that we can succeed, that we will succeed. So all of that is part of hope.
And Dorothy, I love, as you were speaking about those, my sense was that they generate hope. That's an interesting aspect of hope, is that, you know, as we move forward, as we persevere, if we are still open and we're still being flexible and creating options as we persevere, it generates hope.
That's right. That's a really good point. Being hopeful itself perpetuates the feeling, yeah, and intensifies the sense of being hopeful. Yes, that's great.
And, you know, it was a great show, I have to say. I really enjoyed every week. And there was this, we both mentioned different instances where people use hope in a way that says, oh, you know, I really hope, you know, that person will go with me to the prom. Well, within that is a little bit of doubt, you know, it's a little bit of, oh, it might not happen, but I hope. But if you create a scenario that says, you know, I really enjoy this person, and we've gotten along for so many years, and I feel a special connection with them, and I would really like to take that further, and I feel that this person would enjoy, you know, a different experience with me, one where we're celebrating our connection, and I've asked them to the prom. That's hopeful.
Right.
Very
right.
Different
That's
scenarios.
Great.
I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd like to share with our listeners a quote that we used during that month, or that we referred to during that month, from Winston Churchill, that I think is so great in that regard. He said, "Success consists of going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm."
Right.
You know, that we recognize that, I mean, not everything is going to work out. Not everything is going to go the way I want. It's impossible, because there are so many different people in the world with different things that they would like to see happen. So for me, I have to recognize that sometimes things will go my way, sometimes they won't, but that doesn't mean I can't try something different and keep trying and ultimately get to a goal that's meaningful.
Yes, yes. I mean, I didn't know this until just recently, that Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, had failed at every public office he tried. I mean, he had failed on every level of government to
really?
Be elected. Every single one. Do you know that his presidency was the first time he won an election ever? He had
really?
Failed from the smallest post to the largest, and he persevered. And one of the most influential presidents of our time. I had no idea about that. I mean, they were looking at his track record. They say, first of all, it's a miracle that he kept going. But anyone that would have, you know, looked at his resume would have said, oh, you're out. So beautiful.
Well, that's really
interesting. I want to share with the listeners, too, that I came up with two what I think are really lovely anagrams, which is using the first letter of the word hope to create a sentence, which is, having options promotes expansion.
Hope. That's a great one, Steve.
And the other one was, harnessing optimism provides evidence. I love those. I think I want to make T-shirts of those. Come to love
that's
hope.
That's really great. But, you know, I was thinking of something else as you were talking. You know, we talk about the flexibility of seeing multiple ways to get to the goal. Part of that flexibility is allowing the goal to change and adapt as
yes.
you go along. Mm-hmm. Because you may see a way of framing where you want to go that's slightly different and more inclusive, you know, works better, all of those kinds of things. So it's flexibility not only about how we are acting, but what we are moving towards.
And staying open, right? And just staying open and not understanding that you have the choice to respond to the situation. And that choice can be by observing it, taking mm-hmm. stock of what you learned, and perhaps mm-hmm. trying something else.
Right, right.
Absolutely. There's that, we had talked about Viktor Frankl, who wrote a book called The Meaning of Life, and he was a survivor of the Holocaust, and he says in his book, a beautiful, amazing book, says, "Forces beyond your control can take away everything you possess except one thing, your freedom to choose how you will respond to a situation. You cannot always control what happens to you, but you can control what you think and feel and what will you do about that which happens to you." So that's mm-hmm. hopeful, you know, that yes. There is freedom. We are born with freedom to choose how we respond to a situation.
And that is part of what we're talking about when we talk about right action.
Yes.
Right? Because if we respond with despair, if we respond with anger, with hate, that's not right action, right? Because
yeah.
that's going to lead us down a path that's very divisive. But understanding that you can't make me feel a certain way. Only I can make me feel a certain way by the way in which I think about and reflect on what's happening for me and in my environment.
Yes. And so much of that has to do with the way we approach a situation and the thoughts that we have got surrounding them. You know, as you say, be the change. Often it involves change. You know, sometimes we get stuck in a pattern of thought that does not serve us well. And being able to observe and to watch how we respond to a situation to see if we are responding. Actually, I love the difference between responding and reacting. If we're reacting to a situation, usually we're in contraction in some way. We're in resistance. And then watching what you say, right? Because when our thoughts become language, when they become words, they've got weight because we've set our vibration. If we live in a vibratory universe, once we put it to speech, we've actually created a form because we've put an actual vibratory wave to that thought. And so right speech was the next segment. Do you, anything else about hope? We're going to go to a break before, you know, we have a few seconds left, and then I think we'll go on to right speech. Anything else about hope?
Well, I was just gonna say that I think sometimes people stop being hopeful because they focus on what they're doing, the method that they're using to move towards a goal, and they get discouraged instead of thinking, is this a worthwhile goal? Yes, it still is a worthwhile goal. So how can I modify? How can I act differently to move forward? And that's part of what hope is all about, is providing us with that sense of options.
Yeah, keeping momentum going. You could hear it when you said, is this the right goal? Is this what I want to do? You can hear that generating momentum just in your energy, even though that was just something you you didn't have anything attached to it. I could still even mm-hmm. hear in your voice that it's creating momentum. So if you can just mm-hmm. stay focused on that, and then that momentum will bring opportunities and will usually provide evidence, as we've said. You'll see options, they'll appear before you.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about right action and right speech. They are bosom buddies.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Tune in to the hit show, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm totally enjoying this show and a review of all that we covered. Dorothy, we have really covered quite a rich show thus far, don't you think? I mean, really beautiful subjects and taking them to places where I must say personally, I have not gone before with them. So it's just been a real treat.
I feel the same way, Steve. And I'd like to share with our listeners that this treat is coming to everyone because of a conscious collaboration between our two organizations. I am on the air representing the School for Esoteric Studies, and Steve's on the air representing Spirit Fire, and we're both educational nonprofits focused on spiritual living. The School for Esoteric Studies provides esoteric discipleship training, and also a number of resources on our website, esotericstudies.net, that can help you with any aspect of developing a spiritual discipline and living a life of service.
Beautiful. And Spirit Fire is also a nonprofit educational organization. We have our own meditation practice called the Practice of Living Awareness. It's really the cornerstone of all that we do, but we have a beautiful retreat center in Western Massachusetts and teach classes on esoteric studies online as well. So we both have that in common. Esotericism, the innermost, who are we?
Right.
We are more than just what we see, right, Dorothy?
Right. It's the energetic world, the subjective world, the invisible
world,
some say. Yes.
Yes. So spiritfire.com is where you can find out more about Spirit Fire. And indeed, it is lovely. And you know, as Dorothy said, I just want to accentuate why she accentuated that this is a collaboration, because really, Dorothy, and increasingly so myself, is so committed to these principles, you know, that interconnectivity, participation, cooperation. It is so important that their organization has made a point to bring other organizations with similar minds together in a cooperative spirit and really make that energy, bring that energy to the forefront. And we have been doing that on the radio show. So in a sense, we are, it is right action toward generating connectivity and cooperation. So good for us, Dorothy.
Yes. Yes.
And good for all of you, and thank you for joining us for these shows. So let's talk about right speech. I've been blabbing and talking a lot, so I hope it's been right. So speech, if I could just – wait, do you have a quote, Dorothy, from right speech?
I don't have a quote, but I love what you – I think you've already said it, but I love the way you put it, that speech gives form to thought, and it makes our thoughts available to others.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would go one step further than that, and that is it makes them available to ourselves. When we articulate them in speech, it's like we're confronted face to face with what our internal energy field is doing, you know, what we're mulling over, what kinds of vibes we might be sending out. And then we can't just ignore that. We can't just suppress it. It's right out there. And that action of speech makes it available and ensures that we can be responsible.
Absolutely. And we see that more and more in this modern time where everybody's got a recording device. You know, you realize that we are really having to take a very hard look at right speech. What is right speech? Actually, not right speech, but what is speech itself? That it is a form. And as you say, you make it available to others, and that means they can do with it what they will. And it is something that we have to contend with. And so it is. It will indeed force us, whether we like it or not, to take responsibility for our thoughts and our words. And hopefully that then leads to actions for all of us, you know, not only in a I think of politics, and I should think of us all in a great way. We all learn to take responsibility for our words. And
And Steve, I would just like to point out, you know, there's a bit of a trend right now, a kind of a pushback about what's been called politically correct speech, you know, as though that's, you know, it's too much effort. It's something that we shouldn't have to do. It's too constraining, all of that. And yet, really what that term refers to is being inclusive in our language, using terminology such that other people don't feel excluded from what we're saying, but rather feel that they are part of what we're saying. If you think about the difference, well, for myself, if I think about the difference between mankind and humanity, humanity for me feels so much more inclusive. It doesn't feel like it's restricted by gender.
Right, right.
And it's the same with, you know, their ethnic groups, their religious groups, each of which have their own sense of language that makes them feel excluded or makes them feel included. So why wouldn't we want to use language that helps people feel included?
Yeah.
Since we are all part of a whole.
Well, and isn't it interesting that the powers that be try to make that, turn that into a bad thing? You know, isn't that interesting? They try to make it sound as if politically correct speech is a manipulation, when them calling it a manipulation is the manipulation of it. It's just one of those conundrums these days where those that are doing exactly what they're talking about not doing are doing it better than anybody else can do it. But we're not going to go there today.
Well, I think another thing that we talked about during the month when we were talking about right speech that I think links directly to right action, and that is positive versus negative or violent imagery. I mean, we know, although some groups try to disregard it, but speaking as a psychologist, we know that exposure to violent video games and other forms of violence affects people. We know yeah. that when children are in violent environments when they are young, that it has a lasting impact on the way in which they process information and can set them up for for not being able to perform as well as they might have. So what we take in actually affects how we function and also how we act. And I thought you gave some really interesting examples. We started with, for example, there's a phrase in the esoteric literature, I kill desire. Well, why not say I move past desire? That doesn't have that same negative connotation.
Right.
And then we talked about kill two birds with one stone. What kind of image is that? You know, and you had some other ones, Steve. I don't remember.
Yeah, the kids these days, they say, you're killing it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, then, remember before the break, I said, do you want to take a stab at it?
Right, exactly.
And if we're talking about this and 3 seconds later, I'm using...
I know, but you see it's so common, it's so pervasive. Yeah. This yeah. is part of what I was referring to back at the beginning when we were talking about how, we all have this potential to be inclusive and open and all of that, but we learn these other forms of behavior so that we're almost not aware of them anymore.
Yeah. You've got to be awareness. That's why it's called the practice of living awareness.
Mm-hmm.
We just have about a minute left, and there's a couple things I want to say before we move on from right speech.
Sure.
One was really for listeners. If there is a segment we talked about, what do you do when someone is telling a really awful joke or an offensive joke or someone is demeaning another person in front of you? It is really something to think about. And, you know, find that segment if you didn't hear that. Look back. It'll be in the description. Really, you know, what is right action? How can you act correctly around that? And so much about how silence, we talked about how there is an appropriate time for silence and there is an inappropriate time for silence. And sometimes not saying something is just as bad as doing it. You are complicit. So that was an interesting thing that came up too. And the other thing was just quite simply that the Eightfold Path, we talked about that, you know, it's that the Buddha laid out and that it's the path that leads to non-suffering or peaceful living, and found it interesting that right speech and right action are really linked together, because in right speech there are actions involved which are abstaining from. So abstain from lying, abstain from divisive speech. Does your speech separate people? And abstain from abusive speech and idle chatter, gossip. So, you know, it all sounds kind of a little preachy, but think about it. It is really true. If you can abstain from those four things, you're on the right track.
Yeah, and I'd like to underscore the whole issue of rehearsal, because it's hard in the moment to come up with the appropriate action, but you can think about awkward situations like those jokes that you were referring to. And you can rehearse ahead of time with yourself or with friends. What are some options? What could you say that would be right action as opposed to action that just perpetuates the injury to somebody else?
That's great advice, Dorothy. I always appreciate when you take it the next step further, because you're so right. And how beautifully cooperative is that to say, to sit with your friends or your brother or your parents or somebody to say, or your kids, and say, often they're wiser, to say, you know, I'm in this situation and this was the joke that was told. I want to try out a couple scenarios to see if I can say something back and it sounds right. You know, if mm-hmm. I want to be able to get the point through, you know, I want them mm-hmm. to hear me and not just push me away in resistance or write me off. So great advice there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And I want to just very quickly credit my parents, who, whenever we were in difficult situations as children or we did something that we really shouldn't have done, always sat with us and said, what are other ways that you could have handled that? And they always pressed for two or three or four or five ways instead of there's just one right way.
Oh, nice. Wonderful. Well, hats off to your parents. Fine job. We're going to go to a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuOS.com.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's Retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Are you feeling stagnant or blocked in your love life, career, health, or finances? Experiencing difficulty focusing or setting and achieving goals? Tune in to Spiritual Diagnostics Radio with psychic visionary healers Carol Dorian and Justice Welling. Discover the cause and effect of unwanted patterns in life. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit spiritualdeed.com.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. It's been lovely conversation. We were just talking about the relationship of right action to right speech. And there was one point that Dorothy, you'd mentioned you wanted to bring up for sure before we move on.
Yes. When we were talking about right speech, we were talking about the ways to evaluate what it is that you were going to say. And there were three kind of criteria. Is it kind? Is it true? And then is it necessary? And I just think that that's really helpful to think about, to kind of evaluate what you're about to say against those three criteria.
And I honestly think that those criteria work in a lot of situations. They actually work in right action. You know, they work in right action's relationship to right action. You know, those
are
the those were the three gates of Socrates. Actually, there were so many philosophers and spiritual leaders who have brought forward different scenarios to use these words. Is it kind? Is it true? And is it necessary? And I think one could ask themselves, you know, is this action kind? Does this action support and illustrate my truth? And is it necessary? And necessary, I think you could translate as, will it bring about good? You know, is it necessary to this situation? And that, to me, if it's unnecessary, it usually means it's just selfish and self-fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And then that means probably, I don't know, maybe it's not necessarily, unless it's going to be teach you some pretty big lesson.
Yeah, but then we can link to that quote from Edmund Burke. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. Mm. And so that to me relates back to what we were talking about with right speech, where sometimes silence is the most appropriate, but sometimes silence simply condones an evil.
Yes.
And it's necessary to speak out, and it's necessary for us to act. That's why right action is so critical.
Yes, and there's that quote, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Mm-hmm. I saw Alien, and that was a big quote in the new Alien franchise. It was a really beautiful moment, and you thought, "Ooh, yes, idle hands really do." That is the devil's workshop. It makes me think of people who don't vote. You know, listen, you have just got to vote. I mean, we can take all of the evil and the devil out of it, but what it's saying is that you have no control. You know, and if you are a good person, if you are kind and you are truthful and you are doing your best, and or you would like to see, a more harmless, a more supportive world, you can't just think that, because the people who are working against that notion, they're out there doing it. They're building their empires and walls and what have you. And you've got to get out there and express yourself and do something, participate.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that right action, I think we need to acknowledge that right action is not always the popular choice. Right action, there's a funny kind of contradiction here for me, because on the one hand, right action is the only way that I can act in integrity, right? If I don't act in right action, I lose myself. And yet, if I act in a way that I believe is right action, it may be something that other people criticize me for.
Yeah.
Or think that I'm being foolish.
Or act out.
which reminds me of the
civil rights movement. When you were saying that, you know, it just makes me think of the civil rights movement, that you know, mm-hmm. deep in your soul that the action is right. I just mm-hmm. saw that documentary, I'm Not Your Negro, and mm-hmm. It is just so amazing to see this 15-year-old young woman going to a school that has just, you know, that is no longer segregated, and the integrity she's got to know that this is right action, despite people screaming at her and worse, you know, mm-hmm. and moving forward for the betterment of everybody.
Mm-hmm. And there are
not
lots
a popular
of examples.
Choice where she lived. That was not a popular choice.
No, and there are lots of examples where we can look back historically and we can see that it was only because people took unpopular stands that a social injustice was corrected. That it took that action. And partly it's action for the good of the whole, not action for my comfort or for feeling good for myself.
Yeah. And really, isn't that, Dorothy, what we always come down to? It's the bottom line of this show, and I will not say beat a dead horse.
No.
Sorry, that was not even, I shouldn't have done it, but it was there. But we will often come back to this choice of, are your actions, are they selfish? Are they for only you as an individual, or is there an awareness of group? Is it for the greater whole? And we come back to that time and time again, and that, you know, it's quite a bit to do with our spiritual endeavors.
Yeah, and another concept that we've talked about this month that I think is important is the moral compass, that we are actively developing our own internal sense that we can use to say, no, I don't think so. Or, yep, that's right on the mark. That's exactly what I need to be doing.
Yes. Yes. And it, I think it's a beautiful way to lead into the topic for next month, which I'm looking so forward to. It's a topic that reminds me of the topic of hope, and I really look forward to getting into it because it's sort of a concept, and that is goodwill. We're going to talk about goodwill. So, you know, the moral compass is very important, and this understanding of the group and understanding of the self and others and all of the principles that we've talked about, right action. You know, right action really does become goodwill in a sense, is what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dorothy, just a few seconds left. This show went so fast. It was really fun.
It was, Steve.
So, and listeners, can I just tell them quickly about the website? So if anybody has any questions, or, we're, you know, goodwill is going to be such an interesting subject. So if you have any questions about goodwill, write to us at send an email to spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com. We'd love to hear from you. And other than that, we will be back next Wednesday. Dorothy, any final goodbyes?
No, just that it's a pleasure doing this show with you, Steve, and I look forward to it every week.
Wonderful. So esotericstudies.net and spiritfire.com is where you can find out more about our organizations, and spiritfireradio.com about our upcoming shows. Thank you to Justin, our producer, and we'll be back next week.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.